perhaps one of the most interesting figures in which Jesus presents himself. We find in John, the 10th chapter, that our Lord uses a mixture of figures to talk about himself being the door of the sheep, the door of the sheepfold where there would be both rest and safety for the sheep. And then he proceeds to talk about himself as the shepherd that would safely lead his sheep. All of this, I believe, leads to a most interesting reading on our part of the entire 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. But there is a particular thing that our Lord has said in this connection, and it is that point of interest that I want to call to your attention this morning as we read again in verse 10, giving emphasis to the last phrase there. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now notice, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus has told us the purpose of his coming to earth. How do we summarize it? Well, certainly a good way in which we can summarize the mission and the purpose of our Lord here is to say he had come in order that we might have life, and that we might have life more abundantly. We're all alive. I hope not only are we all alive, but we are all awake this morning. But I am not talking, nor do I think that the Lord was talking simply about being alive physically. He said, I have come that they might have life, but he went ahead to improve on that by saying, and that they might have life more abundantly. And so then, that is cause for me to ask you and for you to ask yourself, would you like to live abundantly? Would you like to live abundantly? Well, you say, Brother Gene, explain yourself a little bit further. What is this abundant life that you have in mind for us? Well, of course, I think all of us know the meaning of the word abundant or abundantly. It means, first of all, above measure. Would you like to live abundantly? Would you like to live above the ordinary measure? Would you like to live in order not only that you may fully enjoy every day of your life, but would you like to live in such a way when you come to the end of your life that you would be able to say to yourself in all truth and earnestness, I not only have had a good life, I have had a full life. I have had a life that is abundant. How do we go about that? How do we do that? Well, how thankful we ought to be that the Bible tells us how. Possibly some of the things that we are going to review together, you will say, well, Brother Tope, I've heard you say these things before. There are any number of passages in the New Testament that would teach us that Jesus is the one that is able to supply everything that we need for happiness here on earth, and then to give us a promise. And I'm sure this is involved in this matter of the meaning of life, not only to prepare us to have that abundant life here and now, but in order that we might be able to prepare for abundant living even beyond the sphere of this earth and of this lifetime. How do we go about finding abundant life? All of us want it. How do we find it? The first thing that I believe is very, very important for us to notice is that it is found only in Christ. It is found only in Christ. He says, I have come that they might have life and that they might have life more abundantly. Well, what all is involved in that statement? Evidently, what he has said is that up until now, you have not had this available to you. Up until now, whatever you have been looking for in the way of a happy life, in the way of a full life, in a way that will be over and above the ordinary life, you haven't had it yet, but I have come in order that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly. Do you suppose that's really true? Jesus is the source of abundant living. Well, I have to tell you that as far as the pursuit of the majority of the world, they do not believe that statement. They say, yes, I want to have pleasure through life. I want to be able to say my life has meaning and I am glad for my life, but you know, I'm not seeking it through Christ. How do people go about having an abundant life? What are you pursuing in order that you may have an abundant life? Invariably, it does not matter what the list consists of, but it all comes down to the possession of material things. Stop and think for a minute. What if you were going to make a list of what would make you happy, of what would assure you of having an abundant life? Where would you start? Well, you say, I will tell you, I'm working so I will have a comfortable house. If I have a comfortable house and maybe if I have a recliner and I have a big screen television and if I haven't had to work too hard, well, then that's going to give me a good life. And, of course, I'd like to have nice clothes. I would like to have a good car. I would like to have a job that I really like. And then if I have all of health, as we go along, we say, in order for me to have abundant life, I've got to have good health, so I want to include that too. I have to tell you that that does not provide abundant living. How is that? Well, if you look back in the Gospel of Luke, the 12th chapter, there was evidently a man that had that very thought in mind. I'm going to take up the reading in Luke 12 and verse 13. If you want to turn there, all right. Otherwise, just listen. Then one from the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Hey, here's a stingy brother. He's maybe the older brother, but he's got the inheritance, and this man is pleading with Jesus. "Would you please tell my brother to share the inheritance with me?" And Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." What have we learned? You cannot have the abundant life by gathering together possessions. Now that's the way of it. That's the way of it. The world, as it is seeking abundant living, is seeking it in the wrong place. And unless you and I are very careful, we're going to fall into that same way of thinking. We're going to fall into that same trap. And while we may give lip service to what Jesus has said, we're going to say, "But really, really, in my pursuit of life, after I get through here with Sunday, tomorrow morning I'm going to go back to the very same thought and the very same drive that I have. Abundant living. In order for me to get to that place where I'm going to say I really have a full life, it all has to do with material things." And that's a lie. That's a lie. If you want abundant living, there really is only one person that you can go to. Now you say, "I'm not ready for that yet. I don't want to acknowledge Christ. I don't want to go to Him. I do not want to seek this good life through Jesus." All right. You know what? You're never going to find it. You're never going to find it. I don't care if you think the good life is going to be if you marry the right person, or if you get rich, or if you are successful. That's not the abundant life. There's only one person who is able to give it to you. Well, all right. How? Jesus is able to give meaning to your life. He's able to tell you everything that you need to know and everything to do in order that you may live abundantly. But do you know what you have to do? It's not just to acknowledge that Jesus lived here on earth. That won't help you. It's not just to acknowledge that, yes, I believe His claims, He is the Son of God. What have you got to do in order to live abundantly? You've got to listen to the teachings of Christ. You've got to listen to what he has to say. Talking about this matter of being the good shepherd and of being his sheep, we notice that in verse 27 here of John 10, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Does that help us some to know about how Jesus is able to provide abundant living? What do we have to do? Well, we have to hear his voice. We have to follow him. No other way. No other way. Back in John chapter 8, Jesus says the same thing, but he says it a little bit differently. Verses 31 and 20, and 32 of John 8, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." All right, that's abundant living. That's living life to the fullest, wherein you say, "I have listened to the words of Christ, and I have been obedient to them because that truth has been able to make me free." And we'll talk about this freedom that is found in Christ in order that we might have life and have it more abundantly. You say, "Brother Tope, isn't it true that every time you stand before us, that you tell us over and over again that Jesus is our Savior and that we have to obey what he tells us to do?" And the answer is yes. Absolutely. In John the 14th chapter, and yes, we're still indebted to John's writing, but in John the 14th chapter and verse 23, Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." All right, what does all of this come down to? If you want to have a full life, you have to become a Christian. You have to become a follower of Jesus Christ. And yes, all of the things that we have talked about before, that is, you're becoming an initial follower. You see, there has to be that start in your life. And so Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." We don't just repeat that as if though it was some kind of meaningless formula in order that you might be a part of what you would describe our group. Our group. Someone says, "Why should I be baptized? Do I have to be baptized in order to be a part of your group?" My dear friends, that has so little to do with it. You have to be baptized in order to follow Jesus. You have to believe he is the Son of God and render obedience to him, because you cannot have abundant life without him. Without him. Well, you say, "Brother Tope, I know some people that have been baptized, but they're miserable. They don't have abundant life." Why, they're just the same way as I am. And they're out there scratching to make a living, and if you ask them, "Are you happy?" They say, no, the world is against me. And there is nothing that is going right. What's the problem? My dear friends, when Jesus says to me and to you, I've come in order that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly, he doesn't mean just all of a sudden one day you wake up and say, I have to hear the voice of Jesus and I have to obey it. Do you know what? Following Christ is not a one-day activity. It's not just something that you do once. It's every day. It's every day. Unless you and I are willing to acknowledge Christ in our lives, every single day that we live, we can't have abundant life. All right, let's look at it and see if that is true. Matthew, the 16th chapter and verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. You want abundant life? You've got to take up his cross and follow him every day, every day. No other way, no other way. What's wrong? What's wrong with the person who says, I want to find abundant life without having Christ interfering? Well, we've already shown you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. Well, but what's wrong with the person who says, I do believe that. I do believe that. Jesus says he will give me abundant life. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to become a Christian. I'm going to become a Christian. Well, are you willing to take up your cross and follow him? Yes, on the day that I'm baptized. Well, are you willing to take up your cross and follow him for, say, the next little while? Well, yeah. Yeah, I'll do what he says. I will be a light to my fellow man. I'll try to get my life straightened out. I'll even attend church services for, say, the first month that I'm a Christian. But, you know, I've got other pursuits. I've got something else I want to do other than just following Jesus. Well, how are you doing? How are you doing? Those of you who became Christians And now then, it's not very important to you. You come when you want, and when you don't, well, you just don't. Do you have abundant life? No. No. What will it profit you if you could gain the whole world? You leave Christ out of your life. You leave worship to God out of your life. You leave following Jesus and his teaching out of your life. And you know what your life is worth? Nothing. Nothing. I don't care how much you brag about how healthy you are or how good things are going for you. Your life is vain. It's empty. Okay. What does Christ promise? Abundant life. He first of all promises abundant life by giving us complete, absolute forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. How important should that be to you? I think it depends on how you view yourself. If you say right now, I don't need forgiving, I don't think Jesus can help you. Do you have sin? Do you have sin? What is sin going to do? What is going to be the final end? Well, you're going to go to hell. You're going to go to hell. Not for an hour, not for a day, not for a week, not for a month. You're going to be punished. Well, you say that's unfair of God. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. The coming of Jesus did not make you a sinner. His death on the cross did not make you a sinner. His offer of salvation did not make you a sinner. You're already that. You're already that because of who you are and what you are. He offers salvation. Oh, happy day. When Jesus took away my sins. You know, I've never baptized a person yet that came up out of the water with an angry look on their face. Never have. Smiles, sighs of relief, wonderful feeling. That's something that can be with you every day of your life. You can start off, if you want this abundant living through Jesus, you can start off every day saying, never mind what the weather is, I have forgiveness of sins. How about peace? Therefore, being justified through faith. we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't have abundant life without peace. If you're always torn up within yourself, and if you're torn up with everything that is in the world, that's not abundant living. You can have peace with God. You can have peace within. You can have peace with your fellow man. If you will say, I want to come to Jesus and follow him because he's able to give me abundant life. It's an abundant life because it's a life of absolute trust. Now, over and over again, we face the trials of life. They just keep coming fast and furious. And whatever those trials may be, so many, many times we simply say, I cannot cope with them within and by myself. And so we turn to Romans, the 8th chapter, and we read, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. We read verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And verse 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. If you're not a follower of Christ, you're nothing. You're nothing. You don't have any protection. You don't have any protection from the bad guys that are out there. You don't have any protection whenever death comes to your family. You don't have any protection whenever people are against you. You don't have any protection whenever you lose your job. Jesus and his heavenly Father, for all those who will go to him for abundant life, they'll take care of you. All things will work together for good. You reject them. You say, I'm going to go it alone. Well, that's exactly where you are. It's an abundant life because it's a life that is filled with good works. Jesus just taught that over and over again. There's a religious organization out there that is making a very boastful claim now. They say we do the most good, but they don't. Do you know who does the most good? The followers of Christ. They don't collect money. Just every day. Those who have this abundant living, they're doing good. Whenever they wake up of the morning, one of the first things they say is, what can I do to do good to my family today? The husband says, how can I help my wife? And the wife says, how can I help my husband? And together they say, how can we do good for our children today? And then that goodness goes out of the house. It follows that Christian, that follower of the Lord, while he's sitting in his automobile and while he's going to work, no matter how others are acting at all. It follows him while he is at work. It follows him whenever his neighbor is in distress. It follows him in every bad circumstance and every good circumstance, because that individual who has abundant living has said, I am following Christ who did the most good that anyone has ever done. Life's ambition for you and for me should never be, what can I do so others can serve me? Do you want abundant living? You've got to get that thing turned around where you can say, what can I do so that at the end of my life I look back on it, not in a bragging way, but I look back on it and I say, I tried to do good every day. What is that? That's abundant living. And there's one more thing. Those who have this abundant life are looking forward to the day gladly when they will pass from this life and they will go to be with the Lord throughout eternity. I've come in order that they may have life, and they may have life more abundantly. My dear friends, and you are that, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Why don't you give your life in obedience to Christ? Stop this foolish living that you're engaged in. Repent of your sins. Be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Follow him every day. Throw off that laziness. Throw off that lack of faith. Serve him in order that you may have life, that you may have it more abundantly.